You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Nate Pass.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Friday. It's episode 243 of the Dad Bod. You know what that is? That's me feeling better. That's as the more as the days go on, my health returns and my energy returns. I sound terrible, but I feel amazing.
You look great.
I don't know about that, but I feel great. So I'm happy. It's Friday, back-to-back shows. Me and Ben. Ben's been pounding beer since about 2:30.
Not pounding. I just messed up and got these tall boys instead of the regular ones. So mistake number one, because they go down just as fast.
Yeah, it's just like I got to finish it on the exact same routine. But we're ready to go. We're ready to go. We got some fun topics tonight. But before we start, tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. It's Friday night. You probably can't bet on high school unless you got some kind of illegal local bookie. But
if you got a local bookie, I know some high schools you can bet on here in Lee County.
There's some there's college on Friday nights. There's tons of college on Saturday. Get your bets lined up. Get your account set up. Use coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV. Get to that 50% welcome bonus. And then ham it and slam it this weekend. Just make you a ton of money. Use that free play and have fun with it. Go to the casino when the games are over. Spend all your money on your winnings and multiply it even more. The possibilities are endless. Everybody wins. Not really. But some do. Some do. But check them out. Bet online. Have a great weekend betting. And it'll be a ton of fun. All right, Ben, article that just came out, which I think is hilarious. And Bubba gets a lot of, flack for being a dork or being this or being goofy, but he comes off super cool in this, I think. And it's a really very interesting article. And it's basically Bubba saying how he's calling out the hypocrisy of pay for play. Without earning it, money just for showing up. And he just basically says, look, he's like, this is hilarious because I got paid at a ton of tournaments to show up. He's like, multiple tournaments. I got money. It didn't matter if I finished, if I made the cut, if I didn't make the cut, I got paid to show up. He goes, and then this is the best line. He goes, Bubba's not the best.
Yeah.
Okay, Bubba's not the number one guy in the field. So if I'm getting paid, that means these you-know-whats are getting paid way more. These guys that are talking junk like Rory and all these dudes that are the headliners, if I was getting paid to be there, I knew they were getting paid exponentially more to be there. And I think that was just like – it's kind of – we all knew that.
Oh, yeah.
But to hear it finally be said like that, I think that's pretty – and the PGA Tour supposedly has a very strict policy against this. What do you think about the policy against it? Do you think that it's just one of those slap like gentlemen's rules, or do you think they really enforce it? Do you think they really care? What do you think?
They don't enforce it. At the RBC Canadian Open, think about all those players that are sponsored by RBC.
Yeah.
They're getting paid to be there. Whether or not they make the cut, they're getting paid to be there for that logo to be on their bag. And as Bubba said, that's what we chose the same quote that he used. I chose a different sentence where it said, it's guaranteed money. I miss the cut, I still make money. I make the cut, I make extra money. That's the one I liked. I like that one because it's like everybody says, oh, on the PGA Tour, see, that's the problem. If you miss the cut, you don't make money. Not according to Bubba. That is not the case. So I'm like you. Your question was, is it enforced or is it a handshake deal? I think it's a total handshake deal because PGA Tour can't risk losing those sponsors.
Exactly.
So they can't enforce. What are they going to do? Are they going to tell RBC, don't pay those players? Because then the players would be like, you know what? Then I'm not going to Canada this weekend. How about that?
Okay, let's backtrack just a tad. Okay, so there are certain things that they are permitted to do via the sponsor. Okay, right. So like the Rocket City Mortgage Classic, Bryson DeChambeau can do appearances and whatnot through the sponsor and be paid. But what right. is taught, like, that's just the sponsor of the tournament. The tournament committee of that city, of that whatever, they're still – so what it's saying is, like, you can't accept money outside of, like, a spot – like the sponsoring host that you're partnered with. You can't accept money to show up. That's where the quote unquote impropriety would be. Neither players nor other individuals acting on such players' behalf shall solicit or accept any compensation, gratuity, or another thing of value offered for the purpose of guaranteeing their appearance in any PGA Tour co-sponsored, approved, or coordinated tournament, including any pro-am. So it's not you, there are some loopholes where you can get paid to go by your sponsor if the sponsor is the host of the tournament. But it's like, that would be like, for example, the Colonial. Okay. The Colonial, I don't know who sponsors the Colonial, but like if the Colonial had a trust and they were they used it to pay players to come, or just name a tournament, any tournament.
Well, the example that I thought of is the one that used to come here, the Barbasol.
Yes.
That it is opposite of it's not anymore, but it was opposite of the Open Championship / British Open.
Yeah.
So this would be like a guy that didn't go to the British Open, who was sitting at home doing nothing, but he was a big name like a Bubba Watson. Somebody like locally, Guthrie's going to him and going, "Hey, you show up, I got $100,000. If you show up and just you're here, you're in the field, you didn't come to the PGA Tour. It didn't come from Bubba's sponsors. It didn't come from any of this. It's just a little side deal where this guy came up to him and said, "You know what? I got $100,000. If you show up, we'll put you up in the hotel. We'll take care of all that. Even if you don't make the cut, like, we need you here. We need your name recognition." Is that essentially what we're doing?
That's exactly what we're doing. Okay. That's exactly what we're doing. And there's no way that doesn't go on every single weekend. Dudes that invest in like merchandise tents, or they invest in the party hole, like I'm gonna have the stadium hole or whatever, and I'm over concessions, I'm gonna go give somebody $50,000 just to show up, because it's gonna sell x amount of more tickets. They're gonna spend a couple of $100 a piece. Out here, it's an investment. Heck yeah, that goes on. So, it's just really.
And if you're the PGA Tour, you're getting a cut of that, so you're not gonna.
PGA selling sponsorships, yes. Yeah. So it helps their ad revenue. They're not gonna enforce it.
They say that it's illegal, but it's one of those things. I mean, what rule are they breaking?
Who's been suspended?
Exactly.
Who's been suspended for it?
You're
Has it ever been enforced? We just think there's that many people that just follow the rules. I mean, come on.
And this takes place. This takes place everywhere, because you and I have talked about it. Because we talked about how hypocritical it was with the LIV Golf and PGA Tour, when you know they've been paying Tiger and Rory for years $10 million a piece to show up in Dubai and play 18 holes of golf, regardless if they make the cut or not. I mean, this has been going on, but now it looks like it's been going on not just worldwide, but on the
actual PGA Tour.
The sanctimonious PGA Tour that thinks that they're better than everybody else.
Yes, yes.
He just said, you're right. Your line was better than the line I liked, because you're right. Or Bubba's right. If they're paying Bubba Watson, who has not done jack since he won the Masters, then they're damn sure paying Rory, who just won and won the FedEx Cup. They're damn sure paying JT. They're damn sure paying Tiger. And
I thought it was well known Tiger got like huge appearance fees to come go play. I thought it was like a well known thing. Like you get to get Tiger, you pay him $1 million, he'll come play in your tournament. I thought that
it's not just that, it's the other money on top of it. Like the, I will say this, when Tiger plays in that pro-am out at Pebble, the AT&T pro-am, he gets paid. Jack, it is unbelievable what he gets paid to play in that thing.
Yeah.
And so that is before he even tees the ball up on Thursday to try to make the cut. He has already made money.
Yeah, Shoffley.
He has said that, because he said he won't play in a pro-am unless the money's there.
Xander Shoffley said he played in the Saudi International early in the year for an appearance fee. He's like, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. Yeah, so I mean, it's been
the
going
Saudi
on.
International still not. Is that a PGA Tour sanctioned event? We're talking about PGA Tour sanctioned events.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That I Bubba's talking about actual PGA Tour,
yeah,
like the Travelers Championship or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty funny. And again, I go back to this: who has been suspended for breaking this rule? Like, it's clearly
not
a rule.
One
Like,
person.
You can read it. You can read it. It's very well written and whatever. Who have you? Who do you know? Like, is there a story where someone's been suspended for taking money for showing up to an event? I can't think of one. Maybe there's a bunch, and maybe I'm going to look like an idiot after this, but I don't think I am. I'll remember this ever happening.
No, the only suspensions that they still won't say that they suspended Phil, and
yeah.
Even when DJ went through his drug problem that he had, he was not suspended. He was missing due to health reasons. Tiger went through sex ed class or whatever it was, sex rehab. And he was also not suspended. He was entering rehab, so he chose
to
step away.
I think I need to go
away.
Sex rehab for like the other, like the opposite end of the spectrum, for not doing it enough.
For not doing it enough. That's just bad luck, bub. They don't have any rehab for that.
They don't have rehab for that. It'd be fun rehab, though, probably.
They get to tell you. You sit around and y'all all moan about how you're not getting it. It's got to be the most depressing place in the world. Man.
No, like physical rehab. I was thinking, that's therapy. That's like psychological therapy. I'm talking about rehab.
You may need some of that, too.
Yeah, I may need that. I may need to go lay on a couch somewhere. Anyway, I don't know how we got to that.
Not going any further. My wife may listen to this.
Yeah,
I'm leaving that one alone.
Yeah, let's just drop it right there and go straight into Swanee's. How about that? Let's just leave that where it
Look
is.
Look good, play good. Go to Swanee's.
Swanee's. You may not need sex rehab if you dress in Swanee's. Just go to swanees.co. Use coupon code DadBodGolfPod-25.
Oh,
take 25% off every single order. The weather's getting cooler, and the outerwear stuff is absolutely phenomenal.
Hell yes.
Hoodies, pullovers. They got these new pullovers. I don't want to spoil it because we have a it's different, but it's a really cool look. I'll save it for the unboxing. Be sure to go check them out. Use your coupon code, save a bunch, and get ready for the cooler
the
weather.
The coupon code is not save a bunch.
What's that?
You said use a coupon code, save a bunch.
I said use a coupon code and save a bunch.
And so,
come on now. Let me finish it. No, but they got everything you need. Love those guys. Show them some love. Swanees.co. Lots of party dress for it. And I just lost my voice and my balls dropped all at the same time. All right. Speaking of balls dropping, how about some shots dropping? We found another article that I think could be a lot of fun. It's 10 tips that will eliminate your blow up holes. First of all, that term is funny to me. Every time I hear blow up hole, it makes me, I don't know, makes me kind of giggle a little bit.
Did you giggle? Kind of like bazoot and poot?
Bazoot, maybe I'm a child. I don't know. But these are 10, like I said, 10 tips. We're going to help you. We're going to go through. Are we guilty of these? Maybe a story or two. We're going to go through it pretty fast. It's going to be fun. But here we go. Golf Digest, 10 tips that will eliminate your blow up holes. All right, so number one, let the lie dictate your shot. I can't do this because I don't have multiple shots. I just cannot follow this.
No.
So it's basically the
also
lie,
don't think this should be number one.
Yeah, I don't either. The
not,
lie,
not for amateurs. This is number one for pros. This is not number one for amateurs.
No, look, here's the deal. Just don't. If you got a funky lie, just think, go ahead and say, how can I make bogey here? Like, let's just don't be the hero. How can I not make double? So if the ball's way up here and you got to hit it or it's sunk down in the rough, let's just try to think. You don't have a shot. Let's just be honest. You don't have a 150 yard deep in the rough ball above your feet shot. Just
no.
Be honest. People that are listening to the show, we don't have that shot. So we're just going to chop it out and try not to make double. That's it. That's what you got to do. Don't be a hero.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm over there in the rough and Kyle walks over and he goes, you think that's a fly or lie? I'm like, bro, I have not hit a green all day. Do you think I give a damn if it's a fly or lie or not? I'm just going to try to hit it straight and let's hope for the best. That's what my goal is right now.
Yep. The biggest thing they say in this is just make sure add law. If you're in the deep in the rough, loft is your friend. That's the biggest key. So loft is your friend deep in the rough. Number two, get your number to the middle of the green. I always want front yardage and middle yardage every single time. That's how I pick it out. That's how I decide how I want to play the shot every single time.
I'm okay. I mean, we have our Blue Tees rangefinder, so it will tell me what it is to wherever we're shooting it. I want front number. Give me front number, and I can add 10. That's going to put me in about the middle of the green, or at least the front quarter of the green, and I'm at least going to have a 2-putt at it.
There you go.
That is what – if when we go out and we have little bets here and there, and these guys start going pin seeking, I don't. I want that front number. I'm going to add 10 to 50, depending on how deep the green is. There's some greens we play that are pretty darn big. But give me the front, and I'm going to add 10 to 15 yards. That's at least going to put me somewhat close to the center of the green, even if it's not the center. I mean, beggars can't be choosers at that point. But that keeps me, because I've told you before, I'm notorious for not having the confidence and flying the green, because I'll go ahead and club up and decide to, I don't know. I'm like, no, I cannot get it there. And then I end up flying it. So I'm like, give me that front number. Let me add 10 or 15 yards.
I'll tell you what, I'd say instead
of number two, saying get the middle number, I would rather have the front number than the middle number. Yeah. You give me the front number and I can handle it. That's why I like when you shoot pins and you can't really see the green, like what number does that shooting the flag really do to you if you don't know where the front of the green is? Does it really help you? Because now you're going to fly. What if it's on the front and you fly it long? Now you hit and you're way, way off the green. If you could have just played to the front of the green, you got an easy little chip, or maybe you bounce up onto the green. I mean, front is, to me, I disagree with number two. I want front yardage, not middle. But
yep.
I'm sure Grayson Huff will just absolutely
– he's absolutely going to destroy us whenever he listens to this.
Eviscerate us on that one. But
he's going to go, the two of you can't hit a green to start with. Why don't you just try to get the middle number?
There you go. Number three, find the no-go zone first. No golfer goes into a shot planning on hitting a bad one. No golfer goes into a shot planning on hitting a bad one, yet the smartest golfers plan for that eventuality anyway. Mm. So find the – when you're looking at a shot, find the, okay, that can't be. That's a definite no-no. So what do I do from here? The problem with that is a lot of times when I identify the no-go, in my swing thought, I'm thinking, don't hit it in the no-go, and then I hit it in the no-go. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like positive self-talk.
Let me tell you the hole that gives me fits on this. Because when they say don't hit it in the no-go, and you can relate to this because this is your club, is number three at AU Club. I'm always going to be anywhere from 135 to 165 yards out, depending on where they got the tee box and depending on if I caught the downslope and it kicked forward or not on my tee ball.
Okay.
No go. You ready for this? You've got two bunkers deep.
Okay.
Deep is bad, and everything's downhill from there. So you can't stop it on the green if you go deep. Well, you stop it on the green, but you're not going to stop it near the hole unless the hole's at the very front of the green. You may luck out. No go for me also. Short left, water. Forget it. Pins on the right side, short right, you've short-sided yourself, and you, again, are going to run away and have to try to scramble to make par from 25 feet. Sure. That hole, for some reason, gives me so many fits because all four corners of it are protected by something.
So you just go long left. That's what you do. Every time.
I know that sounds so easy, but then you bring the water into play if you don't hit it good.
Yeah. No, it's so tough. It's a tough shot.
I don't know why that's in my brain, because everybody else, when I play it, it seems so simple. They go to the center of the green. They hit their 140-yard shot, center of the green, all good to go. And so that holes like that, other than that, I've told you before, me hitting a little baby cut, I have to force myself not to aim at the pin when it's on the right side, because if the cut gets away from me, I've short-sighted myself. But then again, I'll start aiming. I'm like you just said, I'll aim too far left and I'll hit the damn thing straight as a string. And then I've got a 55-foot putt for birdie. So, but you're right. I mean, I do like this on number three. That's something that I do. Maybe that's something negative about me, but when I'm looking at a green or on a tee box, I'm like, I can't go there. Like, this is not where I want to be. So I gotta be here, whether it's off the tee or it's an approach. Or if even up by the green, I'm like, don't leave it in the bunker. You know, this this is what I don't want to do. So,
but I'll do. My mind
makes me. My mind will make me do that though. That's like when I'm when that's what you're when you're thinking. Don't do that. Your mind's just thinking. Do that. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, I get it.
Don't miss. Don't miss right. Well, then you're gonna miss right. Instead of like let's hit a little baby. Let's hit a little rip draw right here and end up on the left side. You're thinking don't miss right. You're gonna go right. I think he's got. I think it's positive self talk. I don't think you find. I don't think you need to find the no go zone. I think you need to find the go go zone. How about that? How about that?
I get it.
Grayson's just running the car off the road right now. All right, number four. Study the slope of the green on your approach shot.
Says it. Kyle said go go zone. That's what Kyle said.
He's study the slope of the green on your approach shots. I don't think I'm good enough for this. I don't think I'm good enough for this.
Me either.
That's just not, I'm sorry, Butch Harmon or whoever wrote this. That's not going to happen. there may be some shelves and things that I look that I try to, I want to maybe avoid, or maybe I want to know that I don't need to be above this pin, or whatever. But for the most part, I'm just trying to hit the green. So that's probably not going to be, one that I'm going to take to heart.
Listen, Butch, not there. I'm 185 out, man. I'm just trying to get it on the green. I'm not studying the slope. I'll worry about that when I get up there and try to two putt. That's just not, I'm not worried about that.
Yep. Number five. This seems pretty obvious, but pick a target behind the green.
This for me should say pick a target behind the green and hit it. Cause that's what I do.
Go deep and hit it. Yeah. Don't fly the yardage to that target, but let that be your line. Sometimes that's a pretty good idea because it's hard to get locked on a pin. You can look at a tree a little bit higher, easy level with your eye line. I'm with that. Aim small, miss small. I want to hit it.
And you hear guys do this all the time. I mean, when you hear caddies talking to pros, and they'll tell them, they say, I like that TV tower on the right side.
The best moment ever was Tiger at one of the Opens. And they're talking about his line, and he picks out like a clock tower off in the distance, and he hits it, and he says, is that the one, Stevie? And he goes, that's the one, Tiger. And he was cocky about it. Yeah, is that the one you're talking about right there? The one I just hit right at? Is that the line? Yep, that's it. That's the one. I could definitely see how that could help.
Yeah, and I will do that. That's not an issue. My issue again is that takes us to number six.
Number six, take an extra club. Not for you.
Yeah.
I think the key here is amateurs. We think our yardages are the best one we hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The best nine iron. That's what I hit. Instead of
swinging the club, thinking it's going to be the best shot, the best one you hit, take an extra club, swing a little bit easier, and be okay with not having to have your not taking flushed yardages every single time.
Completely agree.
So,
I sent you, and we had this. This was on one of the pods we discussed this before. You know, there was a thing that talked about average. What was it? 8 iron. I think I sent you. You know, and the average 8 iron is 158. And I said, well, not for me. Average 8 iron is probably, when I miss it's at 160. When I hit it like I want it, it's 165. And when I miss it, we're at 150 to 155. And it's like you said, yeah, but the average right there is probably about 158. Like that's probably correct on yours.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of it like, well, when I hit it good, it's 165. And of course, your response, like we were just texting about this, and you text him back and you go, yeah, but you don't hit it good every time. So I think that's the thing with us amateurs is we're constantly thinking, let's use that yardage where it's 165 to the pin. And I go, oh, hey, Kyle, like we're in a scramble. I'm going to go ahead and hit an 8. Like your job as my partner would be, why don't you grab the 7? Because I hadn't hit my 8 good all day. Like it ain't going 165 because it ain't gone 165.
And let's just swing smooth. Let's swing smooth 7. Let's swing a smooth 7 and not try to throttle this 8 to carry the 165 that I hit 1 out of 10 times. You know what I mean? Like instead, let's just throttle that 8 down, hit it about 155 and at 75, 80%. And you're golden. Take an extra club. Take an extra club. I'm quit starting to...
letting your buddies talk you into hitting more club. Quit asking your buddies when Kyle hits the ball way further than I do. As a matter of fact, if I'm asking him what he hit, like if I say, what'd you hit there? And what'd you swing there? If he says eight, I'm going back to my bag and grabbing a six because he's two clubs longer than me. Quit trying to keep up and measure your peckers with your buddies because it's not working, man. If you got a guy that just pounds the ball and hits it well, and you're like, what'd you hit? And he says nine iron, and you think, okay, well, I'll hit an eight. No, stop doing that.
Right.
Hit what is comfortable and what you know can get there. Quit saying, I mean, there's been times
I hit on track, man. I hit on track, man. It was I hit my nine iron 165.
Yeah, you did from 73 degrees with no wind inside of a building with thin air.
In a perfect lie. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect lie with a guy that's trying to sell you clubs, so maybe the numbers are juiced a bit. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And so, because how many times you get to a par three, and there have been times where people are like, are you kidding me? Where I just feel if I'm the one going first, I'm like, okay, I got it on eight at an AU club. I'm like, I got to clear the water, but I don't want to go too long. So I'm going to hit six here. And then after I hit it and I catch it good and it goes to the middle of the green and like one of the guys in the group will go, what'd you hit there? Seven. And I'm like, no, I hit a six. A six. I'm like, bro, just hit what you want to hit. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what I felt comfortable getting there with.
Yeah. Who cares what it was? I got, right now, I parted and you doubled.
Yeah, right now I'm in the middle of the green and you hadn't hit yet. So you do whatever you want to do. How about that?
Yep. All right. Number seven. And this one's tough. Sometimes laying up is best.
Tough for you, not for me. I don't get a chance to go for it too very often.
Yeah, we all want to be. And I don't want to spoil number nine, but yeah, you want to hit that great shot. You want to hit that three wood and, you know, the three wood into a par five and stiff it. I mean, we all want to do that, but this is probably good advice, especially when there's a lot of trouble in play, or if you get yourself in trouble. And you don't want to hit that, you know, you get yourself in trouble, getting in position, back in position and laying up versus, you know, trying to go for it can really, really bogeys. And this goes into number eight because bogeys won't kill you, but doubles and triples will.
You know, I believe in that.
So that going for it over water can turn into a double way quicker than laying up can turn into a double. You know what I mean? So, or a triple. So bogeys won't kill you. That's what we got. That's what you got to double bogey or worse avoidance. That's got to be your mindset a lot of times because we're not going to hit every fairway, and we're not going to hit every green. So I want to get as close as I can for a par. But let's just be honest. Let's get a run at par. But let's make sure we don't leave it in this bunker or we chunk it short. Let's get it on the green. Bogey won't kill us. Doubles and triples will. I like that. I like that mantra.
I've come to you with this, and I've told you when we did this. What was it? Heading into 2022, me, you, and Nate were talking about what our goals were.
Right.
Mine was cutting down on my doubles, which I'm nowhere near, but it was cutting down on my doubles because I was keeping my cards, and I know that the GIN will do this if you keep up with it, but I don't do the shot by shot. I just put in the total score on the GIN, but I kept up with my cards and I was looking at it and I'm averaging like three doubles around, but I'm still an eight. So that means I'm six. I'm shooting six over par before I step on the course.
Yep. That's
like,
tough.
I'm a 78 par golfer before I step on the course. So I was like, I've got to eliminate the bogeys.
Yep.
And I mean the doubles, not the bogeys, but eliminate that. So that just lets you know that the fact that I am around an eight and I'm starting out with three doubles that I
make a ton of pars and birdies. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I don't make a lot of bogeys. It's either double or birdie. It's one of the two. It's really no in between. So
right.
I've got to eliminate. This is eight speaks to me. I've got to get rid of the doubles.
There you go. Number nine. This could be one of the reasons. Don't be a hero. Don't try to hit the hero shot all the time. Know your strengths, know your weaknesses. Sometimes
this goes back to what you were saying. Take your medicine, man. If you're there, don't try to hit that.
Unless it's some kind of game format where, like, it doesn't really help you to make a bogey or it's a skin or something like that.
Or if it's your – I will say this. If it's your go-to shot, like Kyle has seen me before, when I get in trouble in the right, I know I've got a sweep and slice so I can get out from behind the trash and hit it out there and get it in the middle and down the fairway. But if I'm hooked left, you can forget it. I need to take my medicine, stick it out in the fairway, and take and go from there. Because
there you go.
I'm going to try to hit a hook, and I'm going to hit a pull hook into another tree or hit it OB or whatever. And the best thing to do is just the natural shot is that cut, that fade, just play it.
Yep.
And if I'm where I can't play it, then put myself in a place where I can play it on my next shot.
There you go. And then the last one, number 10, remember the goal. And like you hear this a lot, you don't have to draw a picture on the scorecard. Just get there. Just get it in. It could be ugly. It can be, you could hit three bad shots and hit one good shot and it goes in. Doesn't matter. That's the goal, is to get it in the hole in the least amount of time. Doesn't matter if it's a green regulation or if it's a chip in for par or whatever. That's the goal. The goal. That's the goal, is to get in the hole. So,
or like Kyle was talking about earlier, you're you know, choose your miss points. That goes even when you're putting, to remember the goal, because if you're looking to break 80 or you're looking to, you know, have that best round of your life and you're above the hole on 18, don't try to hit it in the back of its throat, because then you're just guaranteed a three putt and you've just ruined your afternoon. Yeah. Because, and I'm not saying lag every time, but it, I mean, it's little stuff like that where you've got just a super downhill swinger. And how many times have you seen a guy who you and I are like playing against them and they're gambling or something, and you put it in their head. You're like, hey, man, I mean, right here gets you 79 if you go ahead and jar that thing. It's
yeah.
Guaranteed that they're throwing it 10, 12 feet past.
Yep, talk them right into a three-putt. Talk them right into a three-putt. Good stuff. Good stuff, Ben. Funny stuff on the PGA Tour money thing, and then you got the 10 ways not to blow-up holes. I think that's good stuff for all of us. It seemed sort of primed towards the better player, but I think there's some good stuff for even like us to take away from.
I think one or two were for us hackers, but the rest of them, I think we could all learn from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, y'all have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody's feeling good. We're going to be ready to rock and roll. Play some golf this weekend, watch some football, drop some bets, have some fun, and we'll catch you back on
Kyle and I may have a little surprise for you guys to talk about in about a week or so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So hang in there. Hang in there. All right, y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. It's Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always
strong.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always strokin'.